Welcome to today's devotional Bible study. Our text is taken from Psalm 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. I shall read, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." We shall be looking at the first part of the verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. We saw in verse 3 last week, 2 weeks ago, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." This was David's words of confidence in the Lord. Though enemies should charge at him, he will not be afraid, because God secures the day. And so now in verse 4, in the midst of all the trials of life, David's desire does not fluctuate. In the midst of persecution, his one desire stays the same. It is firmer than a strong tower. This is a true saying that persecution is the way by which we know a person's true desires. And for David, it was to dwell in the house of the Lord. And so we shall have look at three things. First, one thing have I desired. There is a golden apple amongst the multitude of apples, a shining diamond within the cobble, a necessity amidst the many wants. This is a sum of all of David's desires. All that he does tends to this end, tends to the end of being to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord. He sleeps for this one thing. He eats for this one thing. He works for this one thing. And so this is a quote by Spurgeon. "Divided aims tend to distraction, weakness, disappointment. The man of one book is eminent. The man of one pursuit is successful. Let all our affections be bound up in one affection, and that affection set upon heavenly things." And so it's to be asked, what is your one desire? What is your one love? What is your one passion? Or are we caught up between two masters? Are we living with two hearts? Or are we walking in two directions? If you are such a one, Christ has a word for you. "No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And so today, let us ensure that we have one desire, one thing. If you desire Christ above all else, above any earthly thing, if you desire to be free from sin, above any circumstance, any persecution that can occur in your life, this is a good sign. As Richard Sipps say, "For none ever shall come to heaven that do not desire the things that tend to heaven above all earthly things, nor none shall ever escape hell that do not think it worse and more terrible than all earthly miseries. God brings no fools to heaven that cannot discern the difference of things." The love of heavenly things, the hate of displeasing God, the fear of hell's anguish are all within the scope of the Christian's one desire. All to please the Lord. The love of heavenly things, the hate of displeasing God, the fear of hell's anguish. And so there is one desire which David has. And David, the petitioner, goes to Yahweh, the giver. He inquires of the all-sufficient God for his help and not the all-deficient man. The weary laborer should not go to another poor neighbor for food, but to the rich for help. to the king for help. It's better for the blind to find someone who can see to guide him than for the blind to lead the blind. And that is why we go to the Lord. Go to the bread of life. Go to the vine for nourishment. Go to Christ. And as Jeremy Taylor says, "Give me thyself, O Lord, and I will ask no more." The new creature asks nothing of God but to enjoy God. If there was one request David could ask of God, it was this. Many ask God for wealth, fame, or power, but David's eyes are fixed upon the spiritual and not the carnal. And I quote from Richard Sibbes, "The Spirit of God in the hearts of his children is effectual in stirring up holy desires. There is nothing that characterizes and sets a stamp upon a Christian so much as desires. All other things may be counterfeit. Words and actions may be counterfeit, but the desires and affections cannot, because they are immediate issues and productions of the soul. This means that whatever we think in our minds, whatever the thoughts of our hearts are, those are who we are. They are that that comes immediately from the soul. A man may ask his desire what he is. How do you know who you are? By what you desire. According to the pulse of the desire, so is the temper of the man. A person may work a lot, may perform many actions, ritualistic actions, without the heart being present. There are many that can go to the house of the Lord for worship, whose hearts are far from him. And what is the true mark of a Christian is his sincere desire of the heart to love, to adore, to seek the Lord. Christian professors must have Christian desires, or they are but hypocrites. A vase may be beautiful on the outside, but dirty and cracked on the inside. And so such must be washed by the blood of Christ, or thrown forever into the fiery furnace of the wrath of God. And so from one desire, asking of the Lord, now we come to one action. That's the next part of the verse. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." From the desire, it goes to the seeking. From the inward thoughts of the heart, it becomes an action. None can rest content till his desire is fulfilled. To lie in the bosom, in loving enjoyment of the thing desired. If the desire is for the Lord, a person cannot stand it till he has read his word, till he has tasted some of the heavenly manna from above. The food must not just be looked at with the eyes, but eaten with the mouth and digested in the stomach. But a soul's appetite for God is limitless, for it is not limited by the body's faculties. The soul of itself has a boundless appetite for the things of God. That is why in heaven we can continue enjoying and enjoying the things of the Lord. But here on this earth, we have the flesh clinging to us, which serves as a contrary nature to fighting together in the one person. So the Christian does everything in his power to so organize his time to enjoy God. And so there are two categories of people. There's one who would but could not. This is the Christian who is so encumbered with work, with problems in the family, that he has not enough time to spend with the Lord. He who rides a lame horse is not blamed by his master for want of speed, if he makes all the haste he can, and would more if he could. God takes the will for the deed with his children. And so, if we have a sincere desire to seek the Lord, that is good. And the Lord looks at the desire of the Christian's heart and not more of the actions. For the actions, they only portray what are the inward depths of the heart. Another type of person is one who could but would not. Another Spurgeon quote, wishers and wooders are never good housekeepers, and wishing never fills a sack. Desires are seeds which must be sown in the good soil of activity, for they will yield no harvest. And so these are such people who pretend to love the Lord, who pretend to seek him, but actually they do not. They could, but they would not. And so to both parties, we ask that you go to the Lord in prayer. For prayer is more than a desire. It is putting up a desire to the Almighty, all-sufficient God who can fulfill it. Let us turn our desires into prayers. That is the way to have them go forth with speed. Prayer is a means of grace that the soul makes in earnest desire to God. And this is one of the greatest actions that the soul can make. There are many that can have the outward form of prayer, as the Pharisees who prayed in the corner of the street. But there are not many who have the inward desire of the heart, the inward faculty of the mind to seek the Lord in true prayer. That many have words but have no sincere desire of the heart. So let us pray with David. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is the desire of the saint. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And so, I shall end with this word by Joshua, which he said to Israel, take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Joshua 22, verse 5. Because without the true desires of the heart, if we do not serve the Lord with all our heart and all our soul, our actions are void. And so let us, with all our hearts and minds, soul and strength, serve the Lord with joy and gratitude for the gift of grace which he has wrought for us, in us, through us, in his Son, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.